Hello and welcome everyone to the Peaceful Planet. We have a very interesting guest today. We're hosting the Peaceful Planet with Win Free and one of his girlfriends from Conversations with My Girlfriend website. Win is a regular on BBS, and if you haven't heard Win before, you definitely want to stay with us for this wonderful program. Are you there, Win? Okay. Apparently, he's not on the line with us yet, but we're going to play some music to start you off. Today, we've been having some technical problems here with telephones. Are you guys connected there?
Marcia?
Hello,
Hi,
Ben.
Marcia.
I'm sorry. I didn't know you were on the line. You are on the line. Okay. It's great to hear your voice. And who else did you bring with you today, Win?
Marcia, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. But let me tell you that I had an emergency drive, and I'm on the road right now doing this from my cell phone. So I told Don, Terry, you read the questions and answers with the Elohim, correct?
Me? I did. I read the answers and I channeled the answers.
Oh. See, Terry, I didn't know you were coming on our show. I'm very glad to meet you. You're one of the persons that works with Win in terms of the channeling, right?
That's correct.
Uh-huh. Well, I sure appreciate you guys coming on the show considering the circumstances. For our listening audience, let me give a little bit of background as to what Win is doing and the significance of his work, and then we'll get to some of your channeled answers and that kind of thing too, Terry. So it's nice to have both of you with us, and there have been some difficult times recently. Win has told me about having to attend a funeral. So Win is traveling in his car, apparently, and doing this show from his cell phone. And then my phone went out, and I'm doing my show from my cell phone. So we're all having a few communication issues today. So bear with us, our listening audience. Now, Win is a really interesting individual who has written The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and he has just a wealth of information with so much good material on ascension. So if you want to learn more about ascension and really tap into the divine wisdom of Ra, if you've heard of Ra and the book The Law of One by Carla Rueckert, this also resonates with Win's work. And if you've read the book The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, it'll give you a good background. We're going to be discussing all of that today. Before we begin, I'd like to kind of set the mood for that by playing a tune called Images of My Love, which has been channeled in from the great George Harrison from Spirit through the mediumship of Bob Murray. I'd like our listening audience to hear that, and we'll be back with you continuing our interview with Win Free and Terry. All right, we're back, and we appreciate your patience. We've been experiencing a lot of technical problems this morning or this afternoon, wherever you happen to be, but we do have a wonderful guest, Wynn Free, who's going to be talking to us about the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and then he was also thoughtful enough to bring Terry along, who is one of the girlfriends that he works with in channeling, and Terry works, I presume, with the Council of the Elohim. So if this is all new to you, you know, I really want to encourage you to pick up a copy of The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce by Wynn Free with David Wilcock. And we're going to be touching on aspects of many different things. There's so much to cover and so much information that Wynn has been responsible for disseminating in the New Age, and he has he's a foremost spokesperson for the New Age. So I'd like to read to you a little bit about Wynn's bio first, and then we're going to launch into some questions, bearing in mind that both Wynn and I have very tentative phone connections this afternoon. So should you experience any further outages or sudden cutoffs, be prepared. We're having a little bit of a technical day here on BBS Radio. But Wynn Free... It's our phones. Both Wynn and I are having trouble with phones today. So thank you, Don. Yeah, Wynn Free is one of the founding broadcasters on BBS Radio with the advent of the Don and Wynn Show. It's the third show to be broadcast. In addition to the Don and Wynn Show, Wynn is also sponsoring a planetary healing show every Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. on BBS. He is best known for his book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, at www.caycesback, and for the past 5 years has taken the role of an emissary for those group souls, the Elohim and Ra, who have been the principal positive forces on the other side assisting the evolution of mankind and this dimension. He will be sharing some inside information on how dimensions interact, the dimensional shift, and ascension. He will also talk about some of the projects he's working on, which you can participate to uplift the vibration of planet Earth. You can read more about Wynn and his work at www.higher-vision.org. And I think that website says it all because it brings together the five or six websites that Webb has. So, well, Wynn. Wynn, it's great to have you here today, and this has been an incredible experience so far with you. Hopefully the Elohim and the Ra energies are looking after our communications as we speak. Have I got you there, Wynn? Sounds like maybe we lost Wynn. Okay, Terry, are you there with us?
Yes, I am here. I'm on a landline, and it's real secure.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. At least you're holding the fort for us, so to speak. You're doing the grounding. And, you know, I know as a channel myself that the channels have to be well grounded. So, anyway, I guess Wynn lost his connection. We were going to talk about the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and apparently you've had some input with that book as well, right?
Yes. From the very beginning, when he first started to write it, and in fact before I started to write it, when he first made contact with David Wilcock, I followed the whole thing. And when he first got the reading from David, and he was so excited about it to the point where he started to write the book, and I was an editor of the book. And
oh, wonderful. Well, that's really nice, then, that Wynn thought to put you on with us because he knew about these phone problems. I wish I had another backup for me. This is, I just love the book, and I read the book. I bought the book a couple years ago, and I've read it and reread it. There's just so much fascinating information, and I was curious how Wynn ever made the connection between Cayce, and for those that don't know who Edgar Cayce is, he's probably the foremost psychic of the 20th century who did readings for all these famous people in the United States and was extremely gifted and went into sort of a trance and would provide healing for people and medical advice that was well beyond his eighth grade education. And he consulted with people in corporate world, in political world, in the business world, and he was just phenomenal. And then somehow Wynn, in his own ingenious way, was able to bring this idea that maybe David Wilcock was Casey come back. And so tell us how this evolved, if you would, Terry.
Well, when Wynn first discovered the website, and he read and read and read on it, and then he decided that he would get a reading from David, and he got the reading, and there was so much incredible information just personally to him that he decided that he would really study it. And on the website, David had made the connection between himself and between Edgar Casey. So Wynn started to think that David might be the reincarnation of Edgar Casey. So he started to pursue that idea, and he did talk to David about it. And in the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Casey, he goes through the whole progression about how David himself discovered that he was the reincarnation of Edgar Casey.
Mm-hmm. I remember reading that in the book. But you know what I find even more interesting is all the Egyptology related to the Great Pyramid and the writings of Ra and all of this kind of coming together. It's really remarkable. You know, Wynn has done a great deal of research into the Casey readings and can quote them, I guess, pretty much verbatim. And I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm also a professor of art history, and I teach the Great Pyramid every quarter. And, you know, of course, the traditional thinking from the standpoint of art historians and archaeologists is that, you know, the Great Pyramid dates from about 2500 BC, and it was, you know, it was thought to be the burial chamber of King Khufu. And there's a lot of archaeological evidence to support that. But whenever I teach the Great Pyramid, for instance, which goes back to the Ra incarnation and everything in the Casey readings, there is really, when you get right down to it and you look at the Great Pyramid, some of the facts surrounding the building of the Great Pyramid have never been solved. And I wanted to ask Wynn about his research on the Great Pyramid, and I hope that I'm directing my questions and query to the right person here.
Yes, he did a lot of research. I went out and I bought book after book about Edgar Casey, and we read them, one book after another. And then he did research on the Great Pyramid, and he came up, his chapter in The Reincarnation of Edgar Casey about the pyramids, was, it brought in a lot of the things that at 2500 BC, some of the technology that was entered into the Great Pyramid could have never have been entered in with the technology they had then. The alignment with the stars.
Right. That's what I wanted to get into. And, you know, although I'm, you know, when I teach art history and I love the Egyptian pyramid, I do go into alternate theories with my classes, but I do it in a subtler way. And I encourage all my classes to read the work of Edgar Casey. And, of course, you know, nobody says diddly to me. I'm not being heavily monitored, luckily. But I also bring in the idea of the archaeoastronomy, which is a new theory, and it supports the Casey claim that at about 10,000 BC or so, these pyramids actually did line up with an entire Orion star system, and the Egyptians in the Book of the Dead believed that the Ka or the Ba, which are both terms for the spirit body of the pharaoh, would exit at such an angle that they would be directly in alignment with the stars. So the cosmology of the pyramids and the placement, even in proximity to the equator, is phenomenal. And people of 2500 BC or even 10,000 BC may not have had the technology capable of building such a structure. In fact, we modern people have attempted to rebuild the Great Pyramid on a smaller scale, and even using our technology today, they couldn't get the stones to fit as tightly as they fit in the Great Pyramid. For instance, some of the stones are about, they say, from 1 ton to 60 tons, and they are placed so carefully together that, in fact, the you couldn't put a sheet of paper in between them.
Yes.
They're still super tight today.
That's right. Like a fingernail wouldn't even go in there.
Right. So, I mean, there are some interesting things that are completely unexplained and truly, to this day, scholars cannot adequately explain, using any number of theories, how the Great Pyramid got to be built. Now, there are other pyramids that were built earlier than the Great Pyramid, such as the Stepped Pyramid at Saqqara, which is thought to be a series of mastabas, one placed on top of the other. But, you know, in the Casey readings and then in the Ra material through Wilcock, an incarnation of Ra is described. And I thought that was fascinating, too. If you could relay a little bit more about the entity Ra, what you know about Ra, the Law of One, and some of the possible purposes for taking on an incarnation.
Well, one of the purposes for taking on an incarnation was to help the Earth realm. When Atlantis went down, then they were attempting to find a new center from which civilization could be rebuilt. And one of the purposes of Ra Ta coming in, who was the earlier incarnation of Edgar Casey, was to help the Earth plane. And he did do a lot of work as a priest with the people in the progression of actually, I believe they had at the time a number of individuals who were in some ways partially human and partially animal, and he was working to bring the human force in and to eliminate the combinations. So,
mm-hmm. Now, you know, I encounter this art history too, and when I came across the Casey readings and he talked about the things, it made perfect sense, because in every ancient culture that I've taught, I've noticed that, for instance, in the Greek or the Aegean, you have the Minotaur, and in the Egyptian, you have the Sphinx, which is supposedly Pharaoh Khafre's head with a lion body, and that's also located at the Great Pyramid. So you've got all these configurations of animal form combined with human, and, you know, it's always assumed that this is simply whimsy and fantasy, but it occurred to me as I was teaching, and, you know, I'm kind of investigative too, and I also channel, and I have some channelings from Ra, as a matter of fact, and that's something that we may add to this conversation later, but it's not on that topic, the topic being this combination thereof. Now, I didn't know that one of the reasons for his work in that pharaohic incarnation was to help the people get beyond this. But apparently there were experiments with DNA during Atlantis, and this was the result of that, according to some of the Casey readings. And you see it right there in art history. You can see all kinds of examples of half people, half beast. And there it is. And, you know, everybody wonders, what is that? I don't actually, you know, go into the Casey readings that much in my teaching, but it is certainly curious, isn't it?
Yes, it is. He has a disc. The ARE puts out a disc of Casey readings, which we obtained and went through.
Uh-huh.
So we did heavily research behind the reincarnation
yes.
of Edgar
I'm Cayce. Really impressed with the amount of research that Winfrey did for this book, and I assume you were in on the research too. So, you know, I think it's very scholarly from the point of view of psychic research for certain. And I do think that there's a very strong case that David Wilcock could be actually Edgar Cayce. And I think some of the situations that arose as you were writing the book brought this more clearly to light. Now, I want to go into the work that you're currently doing because there's just so much since this book that has been written. There's just been a wealth of information that seems to be coming through quite spontaneously, apparently through you and through another friend of Wynn's. And I wondered if you could elaborate that and explain how that began. And I'll tell you something else that happened to me when I was talking to Wynn, because I got messages from Rob after I started talking to Wynn. So this seems to be happening a lot.
Yes.
Tell me what happened in your case.
Well, one of the things, just to comment on that, that happens as the people read or hear the energies that are brought through from Ra or from the Elohim, the energy brings forth, if the person is open, it can go to them and they can access the energy of the Elohim or Ra, and they can experience that energy as a love light energy, and it comes around. Sometimes they will see light, and sometimes they will get phrases and information.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what happened spontaneously to me when I first met Wynn on the phone. And I have a couple messages that I will share during the interview some point, but I want to highlight what you're doing. I understand you're the channel then for the Elohim.
Yes. Now, what happened was, at the time, Wynn had a new girlfriend whose name is Daphne, and she, one time, they were driving, and they were in a rainstorm, and it was quite slick. And so, he has a process where he calls in the light, and he did that, and afterward, he says, "Does anyone want to talk to me?" And Daphne brought through the Elohim in a very elegant manner. And then at that point, they started having conversations with the Elohim that were brought through from Daphne, and they were really brilliant. And I went over and I heard one of the channelings that Daphne did, and I asked some questions and I got acquainted with the energy and made contact. Then later on, they began to come through me and to bring information in at a very deep level. And Wynn asked all kinds of questions about the nature of the universe, the nature of creation, how things were created, how all this happened, and about life and how could life have been brought forth. And it's in the questions and answers with the Elohim, and they gave brilliant answers, very knowledgeable, and brought through information that, to my knowledge, has never been brought through before into this realm.
Right. I think what you're onto here is, for as far as I can tell, a new understanding of the cosmology and the ascension process and those that are guiding our ascension, and kind of basically a new understanding of interdimensional energies, master energies that have been guiding our planet for years that we call God, but are much more differentiated than God. Now, there is the Hebrew tradition of the Elohim, and then there is the Egyptian tradition of Ra, the sun god. And, you know, before we go into some of the Elohim channelings, I wondered if I might be able to share a clarification channeling that I had on who was Ra, and Ra speaking on the Egyptian hierarchy, which I received, because I became curious about this after reading this material, and I knew I had a connection to Ra. Would you mind if I read that?
I would love to hear it.
Okay, this is my interpretation then, and I want to hear you read some of what you have too. So this is me asking, I would like to ask Ra about the timeline in Egypt, and if I may inquire. Ra, indeed, we were always willing to be of service to any honest inquiry. Ra was an incarnation in Egypt, a pharaohic incarnation living about 10,000 BC. We are much older than recorded history. It was in this dynasty that many of the records of Atlantis were still present and moved over from the lost continent. It was thought that we, those of the spiritual hierarchy, could somehow influence the developing minds of those living in Egypt with ideas that would assist them in ways that we now know were disastrous. We did give them an idea of the infinite creator God, and likewise that they were of the same substance of that same creator. So he goes on and talks about the spiritual hierarchy in Egypt, but I just thought that really was helpful for me to understand who Ra was in that time frame and then who he is today, because I think a lot of people aren't sure who Ra is and aren't sure who the Elohim is and the significance of these celestial forces of good that are watching over us. So I wonder if you could elaborate on your experiences or on your understanding of the Elohim and Ra, and maybe read from some of the channelings that you have, which I know are profound.
I know that, like, I did a channeling in Santa Barbara in where the Elohim came through, and it was very, very interesting. And I'm going to say a little more about it, but in general, they, in essence, said, "We create you now in the love and the light of the one infinite creator." They indicated that they were there for us, and they were present for people that asked. They would come in and be there for them, and they would help to fulfill their request. They indicated that we need to ask, that because of the free will clause, that unless they're invited, that they won't be coming in and answering, but it doesn't mean that we consciously have to ask. Like a lot of people, when they go out day by day, they will say a prayer that they don't even know is a prayer, but to the universe it will be a prayer that needs to be answered. For instance, someone may go out and say, "I don't have enough money. I don't have enough money." And it acts like a prayer. So people, when they ask, should ask as the need or want, not to let their troubles be their prayer.
That's a good point, too, yes. Very often I think people are probably asking for divine direction, and very often these higher dimensional energies of the God force, Ra and the Elohim, are actually coming through.
That's
but
correct.
In my message in particular, he indicated that they were from a... originally from Venus, and that they all ascended together.
That would be the Ra group.
Then they were working with this planet and helping this planet to ascend. And I think the other thing about the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, that's so significant is that it puts forth the scientific evidence for ascension with all of the Earth changes that we're experiencing now. And then it puts forth the spiritual possibilities for ascension. And for some reason, I believe that these energies are wanting to interact with the earth plane more fervently so as to assist those of us that are working on the Ascension that are planning to be here for a time, shall we say, at the time of Earth's Ascension, and that it's something that's being done in concert with our consciousness and theirs. So I wonder if you could give us a little bit more on these changing times that we're living in, and maybe give us an underlying appreciation of the Elohim and Ra and what they're saying about Ascension.
They do want to work with us, and they are here for us. And they find it a little bit hard to come into this dimension because the people are so grounded in this dimension and don't notice them. Wynn has started a conference call where at various times of the day, and you can go to Higher Vision and you can see more about this, we get in touch with a number of people throughout the United States or throughout the world. We all come on the line, and the higher forces have indicated they will be there for us, and they are on the line with us, both the Ra and the Elohim. And, and by that, we are grounding their energies into the earth plane and helping bring the love, light, energy into the earth plane. This will be helping the transitions that the earth will be going through to be smoother, because
Well, you know, I wonder if I came in on that conference call, if Ra would suddenly speak through me too. I've often wondered that, and for a long time I've had a class Monday evening that interfered with the call, but as it turns out, I'm not going to be doing that too much longer, so I plan to come in on your conference call sometime and, you know, listen to what you have to say. I realize I'm not the official channel, but you are, and there's another lady, Daphne, who also comes in. But I do have the connection, and the connection was made when I first met Wynn, and he asked a question, and then I kind of was kind of drifting off to sleep, and generally I'm not a trance channel, I'm a conscious channel, but Ra came in with information in more of a trance-like state. But I will tell you this, after speaking with Carla Ruker, too, and The Law of One, that's her book, or The Ra Material, she told me that you have to be very careful with the Ra energies, and apparently she had some mishaps with that in her channeling, and so it's not something I do real often, but when I do channel Ra, it's very conscious. And I wanted to ask you about your channeling and with the Elohim. Are you in a trance, or are you a fully conscious channel?
I'm in a sort of a trance, and it helps, like, when Wynn is there, because he can hold the energy of the environment and, like, even the, like, my body living. There's just, you know, I ordinarily pay attention to breathing and all kinds of stuff, but with him there, I can go deeper, and then I can bring through stuff at a very deep level.
That's right. Well, you know, that's why I don't do it very much, because I'm aware that you can get better information if you go into a deep trance, but I don't want to go into a deep trance unless I have a friend here with me that can wake me up. And I know that Wynn has this connection to them, and I completely corroborate that in my own experience, because when I first met, you know, Ra came through right away. So it was very interesting how all of these coincidences are coming together, and more information that's really valuable information, I think, is being provided by you, Daphne, and Wynn, who's really, I think, brilliantly composed the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. So I wonder, do you have anything, for instance, that you wanted to share with us that you had in mind for the show today?
Well, let's see. I could just turn to the questions and answers with the Elohim and read something.
That would be fine. Maybe you have some, you know, I'm looking at some right now that I thought were awesome, and I wondered if this was channeled in from you. I printed off page 19 and 20, and it was about how they create with a holographic structure.
Is that the larger cosmos and the smaller cosmos or mirrors?
I don't know. It's just titled Creation, and then it says...
Oh, yes.
Gwen is asking about the Elohim projecting into this realm, because these are creator gods that the Elohim are... That's truly their business, apparently.
Yes. I could read a little of that if you like.
Oh, that would be perfect.
Okay. In reality, there is no time or space. In reality, there is only the one. By formulating and introducing into place by intention geometric anchor points, thereby we create a structure, not yet a physical structure, but a loose holographic structure. Etheric energy would occupy that structure and would be anchored by binding of the energy into the structure, resulting in form, which will become the form of an entity who has chosen to occupy or make use of it. This is created by use of sacred geometry, and it provides an avenue for life to express itself through form. There are multiple geometric forms, but they are the building blocks, the basic building blocks. For life forms are tetrahedrons and octagons. The geometric forms are actually secure and originate a location, which before the introduction of the geometric structures, there was no location. These forms are a precursor to matter.
That is just so awesome. I mean, this is information that borders almost on the scientific when they're talking about the tetrahedron, the octagon. And I want to ask you, too, because I made a connection to this movie that's out called The Last Mimsy. Have you seen that film?
No, I haven't.
You should see it because it's... it's a metaphysical kind of movie about two kids on vacation who find these crystals on a beach, and they start twirling the crystals, and these crystals start taking on a life of their own, and everything, it sounds just like what you're describing here with the way the Elohim are describing how they create form. It's like they begin to create these forms that exist in the etheric, and then they begin to solidify into different forms. And this is in this movie. And it's meant to be sort of it's a cute comedy about of extraterrestrial life, but it's really very close to what they're describing here in terms of creation. So you channeled this material in then?
Yes, I did. And, you know,
that's awesome.
Wynn studied physics at Berkeley, and I got a degree in physics. And all of my studies with physics was trying to figure out exactly how things came to be. And I couldn't figure it out. Like, all physics would do would be to describe it, and they just couldn't make it to how it could be. But this thing, it's coming in, and it's making total sense as how form could exist. And they talk about the tetrahedron and the octahedron, and then they spin it. And so the intersections of the different intention lines intersect with each other at different points. And as they intersect, then they create different particles. Just for the time being that they're intersecting at that point, and they intersect and they create a particle, and then it is there, and then it disappears, and then it is there, and then it disappears as it spins past these points of intersection. And this is what physics is up against, and they can't understand why the particle would appear and disappear. So they say, okay, it's a wave. No, it's not a wave. It's a particle.
Yeah, they're always debating whether light is a wave or whether light is comprised of particles. And this is really an answer to that. It's amazing how much divine wisdom is available and clarity is available through your channeling. And yes. it's amazing how, unfortunately, closed so many of these academic, you know, institutions are too channeling. If they only knew the beauty and the clarity that was available from those gifted such as yourself.
Yes, well, you know, it's really, really fascinating because, like, you know, one might wonder why there's light. Like, when some of these forces from the other side, they come around this, it's like the intersection of their intention lines with the matrix of the individual. And as mm-hmm. the intentions and the love light from the other side intersects, then it brings forth this light. And so the people can actually see the light, and they can feel the love light. There is so much love on the other side. Wynn and I were in Ventura, and I was taking his picture for
mm-hmm.
and so I kept taking his picture, and he didn't like his picture. He didn't like it, and so then he said, let's call in the light. And so we called in the light, and so then we took his picture. He still didn't like the expression on his face, but his whole chest was surrounded by pink in the photograph. It's actually visible. And
his whole chest was surrounded by what?
It was surrounded by pink. I mean,
by pink.
His whole sweater.
Getting off the color.
Yeah, the color pink. His whole sweater disappeared into a cloud of pink.
Oh, that's the vibration of love.
Yes, it is.
You know, it's amazing. When I connect to Ra in my channeling, and mine is very, very limited, as I say, I'm not really the official channel for Ra here. You are, and you're for the Elohim as well. But, you know, this is the way they sign off on one of their messages, and I may read the whole message at some point, but they sign off, and he says, you are loved more than you can ever know. Peace, blessings, and Adonai. This is Ra. We leave you in the everlasting light of love. So this is what you're talking about. And this light of love that they are imparting to us is, you're saying in this case, is a physical manifestation that you can feel, and I completely concur with that.
Yes. It's a beautiful manifestation, and it's their nature, their love. I'll tell you another thing. I don't know if you've ever heard of reverse speech.
Reverse speech? I've heard of that with the Sherry Edwards show.
Well, when we reversed the channeling that I did in Santa Barbara, there was so much love coming through in that, and when we reversed it, we got things like, my heart is real.
Wow. I'm getting goosebumps as you tell me that. That's phenomenal. So these energies also, I have believed for some time that they not only imprint through voice and everything, they imprint through vibration. And there's a picture in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce of the phenomenon of the crop circles. And one of the crop circles is actually the Egyptian image of Ra, the sun god, with the circle in the center and the wings extended out on either side. And, you know, it seems like a convincing argument that maybe Ra is behind some of these crop circles. What do you think about that?
I think he is.
I really feel strongly that he is.
Yes. An interesting experience, just as an aside, I took the book, the draft of the book, because the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce wasn't out yet. I took the book with a picture of the crop circle on the back. It was to a lecture that Eric Pearl was giving. And in the lecture, he asked the audience, it's about, I don't know, 500 people there. He asked the audience if anybody had experienced anything of a paranormal nature. And three people raised their hands, and they said, we saw a bird over your head. And so I took the picture of the Ra thing at the break, and I went over and I asked the people that saw the bird, I said, look at this. Is this what you saw? And they said, that's what we saw. and one of
them drew it. Oh, wow. So, you know, the impression is they're imprinting all aspects. Ra apparently is imprinting all aspects where those people are open to receiving that love vibration.
Yes.
But I want to encourage our audience to remember that there is nothing to fear in this contact from these divine sources, and that this is just, I think, a manifestation of the fact that humanity is waking up to these interdimensional forces, and it's hard to explain exactly who Ra is. That's why I did that channeling on, you know, greater clarity for my own purposes. But I completely feel that the vibration coming from Ra and the Elohim is divine in nature, and that there is nothing to fear, and that the information that's coming through is just superb in terms of clarity. And I really encourage our listening audience to read The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, to look up Wynn's website, and, you know, Terry, it's just been a pleasure speaking with you, and I want to correspond with you in email if we might exchange some of our messages.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Yeah. Now, after we hang up, we'll get your email and get all that. But I'm going to close the show out today. And it was really a pleasure speaking with you. I'm so glad that Wynn thought to put you on.
I enjoyed it totally.
Me too. And I'm going to close out with Something for Gossamer Wings by George Harrison. And this is being channeled in through the mediumship of Bob Murray at www.thestarsstillshine. We encourage you to check out his website. We encourage you to listen to Peaceful Planet again next week, and we encourage you to visit Wynn's website at, which one is the best one to go to, highervision.org?
I think so, yeah.
Uh-huh. It's higher-vision.org, and then to visit my website at www.dianaspeakstotheworld.com. Terry, thank you so much for joining us. And I hope you'll come back and speak again about your awesome work with the Elohim. It's really interesting and informative.
I really love talking to you and everyone. Thank you.
Yes, it's great. So we'll have you on again, and we're going to close out with Something for Gossamer Wings by Bob Murray.